So today we get the sky. Such a big topic for Season of Creation. And it was so hard to pick a picture for our bulletin cover because there's so many different aspects to choose from. We have incredible sunsets, beautiful sunrises, giant white puffy clouds. I even thought about the latest photo from NASA that shows the giant question mark in the galaxy from the Webb and Hubble telescopes. So many cool aspects. When Mike and I lived in Moorhead, Minnesota, out on the prairie, the sky was a part of our family. It was a topic of conversation around morning coffee, for the sky made such a big impact on how you planned your day. For out on the prairie with little trees to block the wind, a giant blizzard could shut down the interstates with just 1 inch of snow. Mike and I were a part of this community garden, and I was so excited to plant some carrots. And so I had a handful of carrot seeds, and I carefully tilled the soil and made my little row. And I went to tilt my hand, and then the wind caught them, and I planted carrots for the entire Red River Valley. You know, whatever happened in the sky just deeply affected you. And perhaps actually this is true everywhere, right? A sunny day can bolster our spirits. A gray day like today can make us a little sleepy. This week on rainy Wednesday, my commute took twice as long because I had two little ones with rain boots and umbrellas, and they were bouncing and splashing in every puddle. The longest commute was from the parsonage to the church. You know, the psalmist sings today, that when I look at the sky, I can see your power, your creative work, your bigness. It's no surprise that these ancient Near East people, spent so much time reflecting on God up in the sky as they dwelled in tents. For half of the days in that epic creation poem in Genesis 1, half of them are dedicated to the sky. On the first day, we get light and dark, day and night. On the second day, the waters below are separated from the waters above. And then we get land and plants. And then back on day 4, we get these lights, these luminaries to guide our way, the sun by day and the moon and stars at night. These things to help us mark our rhythms, the signs and seasons, the days and years. And over all of it, God proclaims it good, very good, of course. The sky indeed does help us plan our hours and keep track of the seasons. It helps us navigate our orientation, right? The sun moves from east to west. At our children's sermon at the 9, we talked a lot about the North Star that guides our way. And just think about the Underground Railroad and how that guided people. Or if you're out camping and you see this incredible night sky and you kind of know where you are, and you can find that Big Dipper. It's so predictable. The sky is important and holds so much power, and so, of course, this is God's location throughout Scripture. Up there, in the clouds, among the sun and swirling galaxies, orchestrating life here, down on Earth. Immediately, this image comes to mind from an old confirmation curriculum where God is this giant white figure with the beard, and he literally rides around on a cloud, right? God's up there, and we're down here. And sometimes this image can fill us with awe, like in the Psalms. And sometimes this description can fill us with dread and loneliness. For God is so very far away, so distant, so silent amidst our daily struggles. And who is God to care about our problems our anxieties, the small pesky things that keep us awake at night. You know, another week quoting Dr. Vivek Murphy, the Surgeon General, but he has just come out with this study, this advisory on the mental health and well-being of parents. 4 out of 10 parents say that they are so stressed they cannot function. And 2/3 are citing financial hardship. Parents are worried about their children's mental health, screen time, safety, and success. And with all of these things come a lower satisfaction rate between partners and a deep sense of loneliness. Parents are exhausted and stressed, perpetually behind. Murphy describes in his report that stressed parents create stressed kids, and this affects all of us, whether we parent or not. Now, I as a parent can relate to this study, but I also know as your pastor that whether you parent or not, you are stressed. It could be parenting, but it could also be caregiving for a loved one or taking care of your own health needs or managing your busy, important jobs, or whatever else is on your plate. So many of us are just putting our foot in front of the other with full or almost full Gmail boxes of unread emails. In the midst of such a stress system, why would a cosmic God care for us? What are mere mortals that God should care about our daily life? And yet we, as Lutherans, believe that God indeed does care about us. God moves. In the Lord's Prayer, we begin with this, "Our Father in heaven, holy be your name." But then we plead, we ask for God to come down here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, show up. And our scripture readings actually affirm that God does promise to show up. In our first reading, we get this story between God and Jacob. And God comes to Jacob in the middle of the night, and they have this wrestling match. And Jacob, in his stubbornness, does not let God go until God blesses him. And so God says, fine, and gives him this new name, Israel, the one who wrestles with God and humans and wins. God shows up when we least expect it, often in the middle of the night when we're trying to sleep. Our gospel reading for today is the Easter story, where at the break of dawn, as the sun is rising, these women show up at the tomb expecting death, where instead they encounter this angel who tells them not to be afraid, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that resurrection has happened in the middle of the night. And God is not dead and far away, but God is alive and in their midst. And this is so wild, they run away with terror and amazement, but don't worry. We all know because they eventually told somebody. But in each of these stories, we are reminded that there is no time of day or night that God is not present for us. Sure, God could reside in heaven, wherever that is, but God also promises to be with us in the daily chaos we face. This week, I was actually reminded that while the sky seems so powerful and massive, it's actually much closer and fragile than we think. First, think of that tiny layer of ozone. It's so thin, if one were to collect all of these gases and place it at sea pressure and at 32 degrees, it would be only enough to form a thin 1/8 inch envelope around the earth. And so this thin layer of ozone warms the sun to reach the earth, but filters out all those harmful UV rays. And these UV rays would break chemical bonds, break molecules apart, and destroy living tissue. So without this thin envelope around our planet, the Earth would most likely be a piece of rock. And not so high up in the atmosphere, only about 6 miles above the Earth, is this beautiful combination of gases. Nitrogen and oxygen and carbon dioxide and a few other things. And these gases, especially carbon dioxide, filter the light and heat from the sun and keep just the right amount of heat. For without the 6 miles of atmosphere, the Earth would be cold, as well as a lifeless rock. So these beautiful gases in this thin layer of ozone keep us so protected. But think about it, 6 miles is not that far. Bill McKibben does this illustration where he says, if you take these 6 miles of atmosphere and lay them on their side, you could walk that distance in maybe an hour, hour and a half, or you could bike it in about 25 minutes. It's really only the distance from here to the Library of Congress. Yeah, it's not that far, 6 miles. And into this tight space are these brilliant combination of gases that keep us cozy and safe. The sky is so much closer than we think. Really, it's as close to us as our next breath. Each time we breathe in and out, we are connected to the sky. And the sky is connected to us. In Genesis 2, we are reminded that we are created from mud, right? Dirt. But it's not until God breathes this breath of life that this mud person comes to life. The breath. And in Hebrew, the name of God is actually breath sounds. Yod. Hey, Bob, hey. And so in a way, every time we breathe in and out, we are breathing in the very name of God, taking that little piece of sky with us. And so I want to offer to you a prayer practice today. It is a breath prayer. Studies are showing that taking 10 deep breaths can reset our nervous system. And so this breath prayer is actually as simple and easy as it sounds, as taking a breath in and out. Now, if you're a ritual person, you need some words for this. I've got some words for you. God of love, be here now. God of love, be here now. Or God of peace, restore my being. God of peace, restore my being. Jesus Christ, have mercy. Jesus Christ, have mercy. You've taken 7 deep breaths now. We only need to do 3 more. So I invite you to breathe in and out. God of love, be here now. Oh God, be here. And all God's people said, Amen.